Red Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 10th edition of Rome Film Festival. I'm with Todd Haynes, who's here to participate in a close encounter with artistic director Antonio Monta and to present his new film, Carol.
The film was based on a book by Patricia Highsmith. So at what stage did you get on board on the project? And because the script was written by Phyllis Nagy, right?
Phyllis Nagy, yes. This was the first film that I've ever directed that I did not write myself or originate myself. And it has actually had a very long history. They've been trying to get this film made, this novel adapted into a film from years, and only in the last, I'd say, four to five years did Elizabeth Carlson, the English producer, come on board and sort of breathe new life into it. She brought it to me May of 2013. And at that point, there was a beautiful script, although there had been many drafts of the script over the years, and Cate Blanchett was attached to play Carol. So when I read it for the very first time, I just saw Cate in the role. So I already started to see the movie right away.
You're the master of melodrama, so did you treat the love story between two women somehow differently from what you normally do?
Yeah, what was very interesting to me about the what was very interesting to me about this book and story was that to me it was first and foremost a love story that was sort of a universal love story that everybody could understand, regardless of their sexual orientation or their sex. And what I also started to think about is that it's quite different from the classic melodrama, like the Douglas Sirk melodrama that I had explored previously in Far From Heaven, because point of view is so important to great love stories. Who are you close to? Whose head are you inside, and whose eyes are you seeing through to the object of desire? And in Carol, that begins with Therese, but things happen in the course of the story that also shifts that point of view. So point of view was something that I thought about a great deal, and the Sirkian melodrama doesn't use point of view in that way. It's very it's objective. You're looking at the world, you know, very rigidly. And so I liked it. For me, it was a new experience.
How was your work as a director on a script that you didn't write this time, if it was, obviously?
It you know, it's not that different, except that for just the time, it all was a little more accelerated. The films I write, I have much more time to work on, develop, research, try to get finance myself, all those things. But when you write, even when you write your own script, you kind of have to keep discarding. And even though you wrote the words, once they're filmed, it's a new thing. And you have to be kind of almost ruthless with the material and be like, nope, now it's this. I have to deal with this. And I think that's the only way to make a good film is to keep discarding what it is. So it doesn't matter really whether you wrote it or somebody else wrote it.
This is your second film set in the 50s. Did it happen casually or instead you like and also look for period films?
You know, that obviously came with the material. It wasn't my choice. But what I learned very quickly once we began researching the period is that it's a completely different, of course, a very different 1950s than the one we explored in Far From Heaven. It's early 1950s. It's urban 1950s New York City. And the country, before the Eisenhower administration had really taken office and started to change America into that classic 50s shiny world that Sirk really deals with so specifically in his movies, And this is a very different time, very transitional period, post-war period. So that was exciting that it made you realize there's not just one 1950s, there are many 1950s, and this brought up all kinds of different specific visual elements and style elements to explore.
Speaking about style, how did you work on the colors and the palette?
The colors in the colors in Carol and the palette of color, the spectrum of color, was a very different one than in Far From Heaven or in other films. And a lot of it was based on it really came from the historical research we were doing and the photojournalism from the period, particularly the color, the stills color photography that was being done in early 50s. And maybe even the color process from that time brought an interesting muted palette. So it's not the stoplight bright colors of Cirque or other films. And I love that. And Ed Lachman, this is the fourth project I've done with Ed Lachman, the director of photography. We had worked in Super 16. On our last film, Mildred Pierce, which we did for, which was broadcast on HBO. And we loved that experience. And it brings the grain into the language of the color as well. And it affects the color too. There's a dirtier palette. There's still flashes of accents, like in Carol's wardrobe. Lipstick, scarves, but they're exceptions to the general more gray, muted color palette.
And Ed Lachman actually described the style you're talking about as poetic realism. Can it be? Can you describe it?
You know, it's hard to find a language exactly for what it was. It's not that very stylized and in some sense overtly expressionistic style of the melodrama, the Cirquean language. It explores naturalism, I think, but it does so in it's subjective, and whether that's poetic realism. Realism is a tricky term in film, and I don't think anything about the movie is based on traditions of the verite, docudrama, things of that sort. But because everything is very subjective, so many of the shots are through glass, windows, cars, you know, or Therese's camera lens, you know, where the act of looking, one character looking at the other is foregrounded.
It is obviously a movie set in the 50s, but still, I would like to know if you think there is something that hasn't changed since then.
Love, maybe. And the way, no matter what period you're in, where you are in time, history, culture, that kind of tunnel that you enter when you're falling in love is the same tunnel for everybody. They're cut off from the world. They're living in this sort of hall of mirrors where every little detail, every little clue about what the other person feels gets magnified and interpreted, and you kind of fester in this world, you know, and you try to like analyze what is my fate? Do they love me back? And that distortion is so, it starts in the book. It's so well described in the book, and it makes the subject of Therese in The Price of Salt very akin to the criminal subjects in all of Patricia Highsmith's other novels. So it's almost like the amorous imagination and the criminal imagination have that same overproductive, you know, insanity, really.
Cate Blanchett and Rooney Mara are perfect together. So how did you find the chemistry between them?
There's no chemistry is something no director or actor, I think, really knows how to create. I think chemistry is in the it's one of those things, one of the many things that viewers think they're being given, but actually I think they're producing it. I think it's in the imagination of the viewer. Our job is to give the clues and the conditions and maybe enough restraint and obstacles to desire so that you want them to be together. And it's a balancing of all of those conditions. And then the chemistry is what you bring to the movie.
Thank you, Todd Haynes, for being here with us and for sharing all the secrets behind Carol. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Rome 10th edition for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.